T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Westwood One NCAA Tournament Radio. Welcome to the show. Down goes Big Blue, and John Calipari could be going down with them. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Massive upset yesterday, Perloff. I had Kentucky as a Final Four team. Whoops, but I'm the least of the problems for Kentucky to lose to Oakland, a 14 seed. The last 3 years have just been an absolute embarrassment for Kentucky. We can even go beyond that. To lose to St. Peter's 2 years ago, now to lose to Oakland. Oakland had never won a game in the NCAA tournament, and now the spotlight could not be hotter on the Hall of Famer, John Calipari.
We all know it's done, right? It's over. Even if he comes back, it's done. He's never going to build this program back, because the very thing he does the best, one and dones, superstars out of freshmen. That is worse now than ever. You cannot win with young guys because, as Jay Wright said yesterday, NIL is going to keep players around in college basketball. You're going to have older and older teams, so Kentucky's going to look worse. So it's not getting better for Calipari unless he completely changes his style and gets the old guys in transfer portal. But do you think John Calipari is going to change his style? He's very much John Calipari. I don't think he likes to take influence from other teams or other people. So I think the thing that he's done the best is get future pros into the program. That is now hurting him more than ever. And it's hurt him the last 5 years, I think. The superstar freshman he won, was 2012 with Anthony Davis?
Yep.
Feels like a long, long time ago where you could win with one and dones. And now it's even worse than ever because Oakland basically was a Europe team with a bunch of 26-year-olds. I mean,
those guys were old.
That looked like
a lot of male pattern baldness going on.
That looked like my corporate basketball league in New York City. That is not a team of college kids. That is a team of adults. So Kentucky is going to play older and older teams. Where are you going with Cal? What's the point?
Okay, a little numbers behind this. So the first 10 years with Calipari at Kentucky, 7 Elite Eights, 4 Final Fours, and you did get that national championship. In the last 4 years, have not won an SEC title, has had the number one recruiting class, had the number one, the most prolific three-point shooting team in the history of the program this season, and loses to a 14th seed. As I said, they had never won an NCAA tournament game before. You had a former D2 player come off the bench to score 32 points on 10 threes last night. This was as bad as it gets. Kentucky did not win a postseason game this year, not the SEC tournament and not the NCAA tournament. It is bad. It looks like clouds have formed over Kentucky. But can I tell you, do not have the trigger finger and be so itchy to get rid of John Calipari. This is a decision, if they do move on from him, that I think Kentucky would absolutely live to regret. Here's why. John Calipari might be adjusting to this new, you know, NCAA, this reality in college basketball about guys getting older. Well, he knows talent. You don't think that John Calipari, with all the guys he's put in the NBA, with his status and stature in the league, if he wanted to snap his fingers tomorrow and wanted to just exclusively dip into the transfer portal, wanted to have, say, one or two freshmen on the team as opposed to at some time starting 5 freshmen, you don't think he could flip that switch tomorrow if he wanted to? You cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater here. You have a good coach. I don't know. I don't like the excuses after. I don't like him not taking accountability. There's things about Cal that bother all of us. But basketball-wise and getting talent on your team, guys, be careful what you wish for, Kentucky, because I think you will be devastated if Cal leaves the program.
What? How could it be worse? What do you mean? Devastated. They just lost in the first round. How could it? What's the downside here?
I think that'd be underestimating what Cal can do. Right?
Can do, but he's had a chance. I mean, it's not an itchy trigger finger that all of a sudden they're like, oh, this isn't working with Cal. I think a lot of people, I think he was kind of on the hot seat this tournament, and it went even worse than we expected. The other thing, he gets a talent, and does he coach it well? Maybe it's the freshman's fault because they're too young to be coached well, but I don't know if he's all of a sudden going to change and bring in all these transfers and coach them up and get them out there and be this new team. That feels like a leap to me that Cal could do that. And honestly, did they look well coached last night?
They didn't. No,
they had
did
no
not.
Idea. Oakland went to his zone, and they're like, I have no idea. I mean, we're more talented they're miles more talented than Oakland, and that zone screwed up their really good offense completely.
No, they just didn't have any idea that Jack Golkey, the 24-year-old former D2 transfer who goes to Oakland and was unconscious. And listen, I understand that it's been bad over the last few years. I get that. But you have other things that are going to help this Kentucky program, like the G League Ignite going away, which we saw yesterday. There's going to be more talent coming back to college basketball. That is a fact. Oof. And what is Cal better at than anybody? He can recruit you and I to rob a bank. I mean, people just eat out of his hand because he's got the receipts for it. He's been able to put so many guys into the NBA. I think to turn your back on that now, I think would be short-sighted. I would not fire him after this, even though it has been bad the last 3 years. It's been two first-round exits to St. Peter's and last night to Oakland, and then a second-round exit to Kansas State. I get it. It doesn't look good. I would bank on the fact that he does have the track record of being a great recruiter and great coach.
Oh, no, you're not going to bring in the G League Ignite kind of players. That's not where we just said that he's got to change. And now you want to bring in the G League Ignite guys. Here's the thing. His biggest attribute is he brings guys into the pros, and he goes out on interviews and brags about how much money his guys are making in the pros. Now it's his biggest weakness. People are going to look back and say, you had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and you had De'Aaron Fox and you had Malik Monk and whatever. You go down the list and you didn't win anything with these guys. I think you're going to look back at Coach Cal and say, wow, he couldn't win anything with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That is a sign of inferior coaching in a way.
Perloff, nobody stays.
That's what I'm saying. So you want to bring a G League Ignite guy?
I'm telling you, but I'm saying more talent is going to get back into college basketball. And with NIL, maybe some guys stay. Maybe Reed Sheppard, who scored 3 points last night, who's the freshman of the year, maybe he doesn't go to the draft now. Let's see what it would be like if he actually got. I know that there were some older guys who are on this particular team, like Antonio Reeves, but let's just say you actually get one of these guys to stay for 2 years, heaven forbid three. I know that's not going to happen, but let's say two. Can we at least see what that looks like?
Well, there is NIL money, and then there is NBA money. I mean, the NBA money being wildly out of control is going to get those guys into the draft, I think. And also, Reed Sheppard, he could stay for 2 or 3 years. When he's going to hit puberty, what, in a year? I mean, come on. What are we doing here with Reed Sheppard? I mean, it looked like a little kid going against middle-aged men last night. Technically, it was.
Listen, Oakland's a great team. I don't want to take away from their moment. It's great. They should enjoy it. I mean, the best shooter last night on the floor for them literally is 24.
Yep.
There's something going on right now in college hoops where because guys can transfer, we still have a COVID year, NIL's bringing dudes back. And I don't know how much NIL Oakland has to give away, but you have all of a sudden this really big discrepancy. Like, we used to laugh about the Chris Winkies and stuff like that, dudes who are super old in college. That's the norm now for some of these mid-majors.
Right, and I don't think that's going to change. So that's my concern with Cal. Is John Calipari going to be able to adjust to the new reality of college basketball? And the key, ironically, the key to being a great team is don't have players that are too good, which is, doesn't make any sense. But look at my Villanova Wildcats through the years. They did not have top five picks, and Jay Wright just dominated the sport in some ways. I just can't see John Calipari doing that. There is a little bit of being in the limelight and getting the top recruit and being connected to LeBron and all the stuff that Calipari has done through the years. I don't think that he can just patiently sit and build a team with fifth-year seniors. It doesn't feel like him to me.
Let's hear from John Calipari. I want to hear from you, of course, 855-212-4CBS. Kentucky loses last night to Oakland, which we all found out is in Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, we knew it was in Michigan.
I mean, Michigan. Yeah. Michigan, sorry. Do I know where it is?
We all found out just now.
What? I'm still learning. Let's hear from John Calipari. Of course, they lose last night to Oakland. This is, you know, bringing up shades of 2 years ago when Kentucky got bounced in the first round by St. Peter. So it's been double-digit seeds. Let's hear cut four, please, Pete. He says college basketball has changed, and that's part of the reason why they lost.
This thing here, it's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles, and all this stuff, win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden, it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25.
Okay, so should Kentucky start to go older?
So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement, but that's what these two did. And if Trey doesn't get hurt, you know, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, he's talking about Trey Mitchell. He's talking about Antonio Reeves, who's a fifth-year senior. Listen, you still have, you know, talent. I believe what Cal says here, which is talent will always win over, I think, even coaching at times. Mm-hmm. You know, not to disrespect coaches, but, you know, Jimmy's and Joe's versus X's and O's, it's been a, like, you know, tale as old as time. And yeah. I think that Cal has been right to pick talent in a lot of those right. instances.
But it's absolutely not talent in college basketball. It's experience. It's the exact opposite of what you just said is what I believe. If you can have all the pros in the world, if they do one and done, you are screwed as a program. Because freshmen and talent is not going to win. Something happens in the NCAA tournament, too, where even the most talented players can sometimes get neutralized. The days of Chris Webber single-handedly leading a team to, well, not single-handedly, well, yeah, he had a lot of talent around him. But I don't feel like we get the singular future NBA superstars leading teams that far. Carmelo and Syracuse, what to me, maybe I'm missing some guys, but it doesn't feel like you have that top two NBA pick leading a team all the way.
Well, Anthony Davis, I think.
That was, yeah, 2012,
yeah,
right.
It was.
And Anthony Davis actually was part of it. There were seven pros on that team. He was probably the best player, but he wasn't alone. You look at Dalton Connect might be that guy this year. Does anyone have Tennessee in their Final Four?
I do.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. Does anybody else have Tennessee in their Final Four?
Some people probably do, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're not a super hot team because everyone thinks, oh, they're just a one-man show. Dalton Connect's a future pro, but you can shut him down in the tournament. You know, if Connect faces Golke, or what's the guy's name?
Jack Golke.
Yeah, Golke.
Learn the name, Perloff. They're not a Cinderella. So that was the big upset from yesterday. Perloff thinks John Calipari should part ways with Kentucky, and it's over.
I don't want to say fired. Why is that weird that I don't want to say Kentucky should fire John Calipari because he's earned the right to kind of go out on his own terms, but I think it's time to part ways. We had a discussion. Was Jim Boeheim fired in Syracuse? I mean, I feel like once you get to a certain point, you part ways.
Don't you remember how awkward that got at the end? Because Jim Boeheim can't do anything without making it awkward, and I say that as someone who grew up, you know, right near Syracuse, and it's like, there are gods up there, but no, Jim Boeheim's always awkward. Remember, he's like, I'm only acting at the will of the school. And it got really, yes, you don't want that to happen.
Well, Jim Boeheim, of course, inducted you into the Binghamton Sports Hall of Fame.
He did.
Was that awkward?
Extremely. Jim Boeheim's never not awkward. And it was a lovely night. He was definitely the most awkward person there.
Oh,
and
no.
The person everyone was there to see, ironically. So, where were
when
we?
When he inducted
Kentucky.
You, did he have his hand underneath his chin? And he was like, okay, Maggie Gray, long guy, whatever.
Yeah, he gave you like the smile with no teeth. Like, this is bad for radio, but
yeah, that's definitely resting Jim Boeheim face.
Yeah, the flat lip smile.
Well, it does seem this generation of superstar coaches, Coach K is gone. Obviously, Roy Williams is gone. Jim Boeheim's gone. It feels like Cal's gone. These monster personality, bigger than the team, bigger than the program. Everyone knows them. I feel like that's kind of, we're losing that in
Cal's
basketball.
Cal's not gone yet. Guys, he's not gone yet. And if I were Kentucky, I would not do it.
Days of being a blue blood seem to be going away. That's a fear here. Maybe he's not gone, but he's 65. He will be gone soon. The next generation of coaches has a different thing going on. Unless Danny Hurley becomes those guys, I don't know. I feel like we're not going to have the superstar college basketball coach. Am I ignoring the young class of coaches? Like, who's going to rise to that level of John Calipari?
Well, I mean, give Danny Hurley some time. He's already got one national title, and he's in his 40s, right?
Yeah, but 50s. Can you see him having five number one recruits come to Kentucky at a time? I don't know. I just don't feel like that's a thing anymore in college basketball.
Well, on the flip side, you get awesome stories like Greg Campy, who the head coach of Oakland, who is at the same school for 40 years, a lot like Boeheim, same school, 40 years, first ever tournament win. I mean,
amazing.
Talk about the delayed gratification and the payoff there. Meanwhile, down goes Kentucky, Big Blue. Thinking about our pal Big Dave today.
Oof. Rough day for him.
Rough day for the warden.
I wonder if he disowns Kentucky like he disowned the Cowboys.
Think about Dave's he's going to be looking for two new teams.
Because think about it. Kentucky, in many ways, they have been the Dallas Cowboys in college basketball. It's been all this hype.
Oh, yeah.
All this, hey, we got all these great recruits. And at least they have at least one championship. But under Coach Cal, they've essentially been the Dallas Cowboys. All flash, no substance when it comes to postseason.
At least they won one.
Yeah, at least they have one. But it's been a pretty big drought now since then.
Cowboys have three or more. We know that. But with Jerry Jones, you know.
But, like, I think the one thing I think you're missing Maggie on the Cal and the threat of losing him, as Perloff mentioned, is there's not really much to lose at this point. I think it's a disservice to the Kentucky fans for Coach Cal before this game to talk about how proud he is of the money that's being made, of the draft picks, when there's been absolutely no team success related to that in any reasonable amount of time. And for a guy who's been coaching college basketball for 35 years, have you ever seen a college basketball coach whose experience means so little in clutch big game situations? Like, you would think, oh, we have a coach that's been coaching for 35 years. He's going to be able to, like, you know, maneuver us through these scenarios. And yet, whether it's been at Kentucky or even go back to Memphis, it just seems like his experience means nothing in the games that matter, which is so damning as a head coach.
This is prisoner of the moment.
Not.
When it was seven Elite Eights, it was prisoner of the moment. When it's like four Final Fours.
It's a 5-year moment, though.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, you're talking like Cal could never coach. I know that he's always been more talent than X's and O's, but that's not a crime, first of all. And secondly, I mean, you're discounting a Hall of Fame resume when you're just saying that, you know, he blows it in the moment. There's a lot of coaches who blow it in the moment. Andy Reid blew it in the moment for a long, long time. It doesn't mean you're a bad coach.
But as he said, college basketball has changed.
Right.
I think he didn't win championships because, again, when it came to championship games, Elite Eight games, Final Four games, he also didn't bring any experience. But now it's looking worse because the talent is so much more spread out.
Right.
His players are so much more younger than the guys they're going up against. Mm. Also, high school basketball, AU basketball, these guys coming up aren't as good as they used to be. Like, if this was John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, they crush Oakland. He's not getting those kind of guys. And this was an awesome recruiting class. The caliber player in high school is different. Mid-major players are better. You can't win with this kind of guy. And if he says, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to go get transfers and seniors, guess what? He's going to choke with those guys too.
Well, you don't
know
that.
Because he's a bad in-game coach, Maggie.
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. Like John Wall and Boogie Cousins might have been playing against guys who are 25. That wasn't the case either. They were 19-year-olds playing against other 19-year-olds. Like, this is something that Cal's going to have to figure out. But I'm not so sure that those teams wouldn't have also struggled because the experience factor.
But I disagree, because think about those guys I just mentioned, like Devin Booker or Anthony Davis, as I mentioned earlier. Like, those guys went to the NBA next year, and they were dogs.
Right. Yeah.
Think about the guys, even the good players they had at Kentucky recently. It took Shea Alexander a couple years to be that kind of guy. It took some of these guys at Kentucky, Tyler Hero, years to, like, you weren't having guys coming in and they're rookie of the year. Kentucky's not had those guys before, and because those guys aren't as good as they used to be.
I mean,
Reed Sheppard is freshman of the year in the nation.
Right, but when he goes to the NBA
next year, he shouldn't go to the NBA.
He's not
going to
be averaging 20. John Wall came in and he was a dog.
Okay, but is it John Calipari's fault that amateur basketball and the high school and the AAU and all that stuff is super broken?
Yes, because he is choosing to do it this way. Nobody told him, hey, go out there and get the most NBA players possible. Big Blue Nation wants championships, and he's on a side mission. It's like when you're playing a video game and you have the main storyline and he's on the side mission. No, he's not even playing the main story.
I get it, but I think both can align. This is a little bit how I feel about Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He feels a very Dabo Sweeney-ish. Okay. Will not adapt.
And Dabo Sweeney's not getting fired, y'all.
But Dabo won two titles at Clemson, for gosh sakes. This is Kentucky.
Right.
This is not Clemson.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, there you have it. Thoughts on John Calipari. Down goes Big Blue. They lose to Oakland last night, which is in Michigan. Fantastic performance by the Golden Grizzlies.
That's the part I did learn. They're called the Golden Grizzlies. Are there Grizzlies in Rochester, Michigan?
I'm sure. Yeah.
What do you guys think of that?
I'm not sure about that.
Well, Michigan, maybe not in Rochester, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit, but in Michigan, I think there's bears in Michigan, yeah.
They're probably bears, but grizzlies? I have to double check that.
I'm also kind of dubious with the adding a color to whatever animal or thing you have. I think it's kind of a cop-out because you know your name is unoriginal.
But why would you combine golden and grizzly?
Right.
We can get into that later. Grizzlies. Odd choice by the powers that be in Oakland.
Oh, you guys are dead wrong about this.
Golden
Add golden
grizzly?
To anything and it's cool. The Golden
well,
Knights.
You get in some trouble, too, if you have
golden shower.
Golden bachelor.
See? And that was a hit. You
that worked
it.
Well.
Bilotti definitely just cut Maggie saying that.
That can never be, we can never hear that again in the light of day. It's very early in the morning and I've not slept.
You just threw it out there.
You were implying it. You set me up and I dunked it.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to. It was implied. And the implication was fine in that situation, Maggie.
All right, how about the golden rule? Do unto others as you would want done to you.
Oh, no. Now that even sounded dirty for some reason.
Okay, we've got more for you. Let's start with John Calipari. They lose again. What does this mean? They lose. Kentucky loses to a double-digit seed. Let me flesh this out a little bit. Embarrassing fashion for them, considering all the talent on this team. Should Cal stay? Should he go? 855-212-4CBS. We also have updates for you on Shohei Ohtani, the scandal that is rocking baseball. What did he know? When did he know it? About his interpreter getting into a seven-figure gambling debt with an illegal bookmaker. So much to do on this Friday. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Fact-checking some things on Oakland University. It is in Michigan, for anyone who had any doubts about that. They're called the Golden Grizzlies. Maggie, I am seeing they're only black bears in Michigan. This is a deceiving team nickname. First of all, Golden Grizzlies doesn't make any sense. Unless a grizzly happens to be standing in the sunshine. But this is a black bear state. It's a little odd. It's kind of like the Utah Jazz or the Los Angeles Lakers.
I don't think it's that bad.
I have an issue with this. But I did, I'm one of the few people here, I think a lot of people had Kentucky in the Final Four. I had them in the Elite Eight. It's not like I'm in great shape with this. But my bracket is in decent shape, and I won king for a day.
I know. This was a mini bet. You know we love to do bets around here on the show. It was a mini bet. Whoever got the most games correct on Thursday got to be king for a day on Friday. So we were just going with the scoring from our Pearl Jam Season 3 bracket. Right now, Perloff is tied for fourth in our bracket. Congrats to P. Wade, who's number one. So Perloff's tied for fourth, so you get to be king for a day.
I should be number one if the refs didn't screw over Samford. Then I'd be in great shape.
That was a questionable foul call after a feverish comeback.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny. The Kentucky game that we've been talking about, that was the only real major, major upset. The 11 seeds over the 6 seeds didn't feel as shocking to me. But I think something's going to happen today. A one or a two seed is going down today because nowadays it happens every year. Even though I was one king for a day, I'm probably not going to win this bracket. But I am so excited. I have a devilish plan for the group.
Yeah, so you get to be king for a day. So, like, we're all at your mercy. Yeah. You know, Bilotti, EJ. EJ's family, by the way, showing out strong in this bracket. So thank you to the Stewarts who are making their...
Yeah, where are the Grays and the Perloffs and the Bilottis here? The Stewarts came out.
Spent 15 minutes trying to explain to my mom how to sign up for this thing. I swear to God, eventually I just gave up. And I know my wife's in there, and she claimed she had a scientific approach to it this year, and she's got a really slow start. She beat me last year, but I'm going to get her this year.
EJ's mom is top 10 right now, so congratulations to Mrs. Stewart is starting off with a bang. Your wife's top 10.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. She's going under the maiden name, right?
Peterson, yes.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought it was Price.
No.
I thought that was her, too.
My wife pulls me aside yesterday. I get home. She goes, so I have looked at the last 10 for every team, and she picked whoever had the better record in the last 10 on ESPN.com standings. She's like, it's momentum. I'm like, yeah, all the historical trends say that's absolutely not true. She told me to shut up.
You know, but to be fair to her, I always thought that too. The trends say do not just pick like the quote unquote hot hand, but NC State won yesterday and Duquesne won yesterday.
Yeah, no, it's funny. All the bid sealers are killing it.
Yeah.
NC State, amazing. What a great story. I said this earlier, NC State has to play Oakland, right? That's not fair. We need both those teams to advance. We can't knock out one of the you know, the tournament darlings this early.
And you talk about, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah. I was just asked, Perloff, have you thought about any of the diabolical things you want to do?
Oh, I
and
have
when
a plan.
Can we expect the first one of these King for a Day things?
I'm thinking in the 8 o'clock hour, all I have to say is warm up your vocal cords. Because
not EJ, there's
gonna
anyone
be,
but EJ.
There's going to be some singing on the Maggie and Perloff show later today.
EJ, oh, you have great. So many talents. You have so many gifts and so many great qualities as a human being, as a broadcaster. You're just a terrible singer.
Which is unfortunate because I love singing.
We know, and that's not helping.
Well, and the funny thing, too, is we've been doing our one-hit wonder bracket all week, and EJ is particularly bad at some of these one-hit wonders that he's never heard of.
Oh, yeah, now you're going to... Yeah, I know, there's songs that I'm like, I never heard this song. You're going to make me sing those, too. That's great. That's
Died in Your Arms Tonight by
well,
Cutting Crew?
EJ, you will not be alone, because I think everybody in this room is going to have to sing at some point, except for me, which is a service to the audience. Because, as we know, I'm even worse than you. Maggie, we don't know much about your singing voice. I know
terrible.
You like to get hammered and do karaoke.
I know, but I sound like a donkey when I'm singing. It's terrible.
And you can't get drunk right now. It's too early.
Well, that's up to you. That's debatable. Okay, so headlines. We will get back to Shohei Ohtani in just a little bit. Peter Schwartz is here doing headlines. Peter, are you ready for whatever punishment comes down because Perloff is king for a day?
Absolutely, whatever. I'm game.
Are you a good singer?
No, my wife says there's a reason why I talk on the radio, not sing.
Yeah, it's very, very little crossover in this industry. You'd think there'd be more. It's not a lot.
Yeah, do you do karaoke? I can't even imagine in a million years what your karaoke go-to is.
It's got to be Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Yeah. See, this is where Schwartz and Bilotti are actually very simpatico, but they don't believe
Billy
they
Joel,
are.
Yeah.
A little Uptown Girl. I could butcher that song after a couple of brews.
I prefer not to butcher Billy Joel's catalog. I don't want to do him a disservice.
Yeah,
I'm going off the one-hit wonder list, and Billy Joel is certainly the opposite of a one-hit wonder, so he will not be there. I was thinking, I know, Pete, you love Hall & Oates, too, right?
That's right.
They're pretty easy to
say. Well, they have prolific catalog.
Remember, Oates.
Oates.
Go to
you're a Garfunkel and Oates fan.
That's right. Garfunkel for the hair, because it used to be mine, and then Oates because he's better than Hall.
Yeah, Hall and Simon can go screw.
I've seen Hall and Oates in concert a few times.
You're not alive. Yeah. And well. You just like fall into a Hall and Oates concert.
Been there too.
It's like seeing Huey Lewis in the news. Everyone's seen him.
Mm-hmm. It's like you can't back in concert.
Not it's like you have to back into a Huey Lewis
Pat
in the
Benatar.
News. Yeah.
I've not seen Huey Lewis in the news. Oh. I've seen the news on their solo tour. It didn't go well.
Just the news?
Yeah, the news. I'm a much bigger news fan than Huey Lewis.
They played a couple 7-Elevens.
A lot of saxophone there. Peter, what's going on in the
world?
I've
seen Hootie and the Blowfish, but not Hootie by himself.
Oh, both are great.
Out.
Both are
personal friend of Perloff, by the way.
Really?
Darius.
Wow.
Darius Rucker.
Darius is a personal friend of everybody. Yeah, he's just such a good dude. He would love you.
Oh, well, I would like him. He was great on Undercover Boss, too.
All right, let's get to the headlines.
I generally have a story for anything that's brought up. There you go. Let's start with the big dance, and we'll tip off in the East region.
Watts with 10 to shoot. Shovels that pass back out to Wells. Wells back to Watts. He'll launch a three on the right wing, and he hits! Oh, the freshman from deep on the right wing. 61-59. Cougars their first lead since 45 seconds into the second half.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Number 7, Washington State beat number 10, Drake, 68-61. Isaac Jones, 20 points, 11 rebounds. In the West region, number 15, Long Beach State, they lose to number 2, Arizona, 85-65. And that's the end of the line for fired head coach Don Monson after he was fired following a 5-game losing streak to end the regular season. He was allowed to come back, and they went on a run to win the Big West tournament, get into the big dance. Athletic director Bobby Smitherin said, "See, I told you so." He said his belief and hope was that with the timing of the firing, his team would catch fire, play inspired, knowing that Monson would not be coming back, and he said his plan came together.
This is why everyone hates their boss. Because as soon as this is like what Rick Pitino did, you know, calling out the team and then they go on to win. It's like, well, I guess these motivational tactics work. You cannot take credit for something like this. It's so bad.
I saw Jay Billis had probably the best quote, which is like, we should probably see what would happen if Long Beach State fired the AD and how inspired they will play next season.
Yeah. Oh, let's give that a shot.
Yeah.
In the South region, number 3, Kentucky upset by number 14, Oakland, 80-76. Kentucky head coach John Calipari sums up the loss.
We had some guys that didn't play the way they'd been playing all year. We did everything we could. We knew the zone would be tough, but we miss shots we don't miss. And, you know, the preparation, I thought they were in a great, trying to keep them loose, but when the game started, you had some guys not play to the level they could play.
Calipari, courtesy of CBS, Jack Golke, 32 points, including 10 three-pointers for Oakland.
Yep, that's Cal taking accountability. Listen, I still think that he should not be fired. Perloff says he should, or they should part ways. We put a poll up on Twitter, at Maggie and Pearl. So while you're there voting on whether John Calipari should remain as the Kentucky men's basketball coach, you can also still continue to vote on our bracket of one-hit wonders, just FYI. Back to you, Pete.
In the Midwest region, number 4, Kansas, had themselves a battle with number 13, Samford.
38 seconds to go. Kansas ball up 88-86. They run the baseline, throw it in. Dickinson, they're not going to foul him, though, in the backcourt. He leans in. They could have called an offensive foul. Now he throws it down court. Adams wide open, dunks it underneath. Somehow Samford lost Adams. 90-86, Kansas.
That was Dave Pasch on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Kansas survives 93-89 after Samford had cut a 22-point deficit down to 1 with less than a minute to go.
Okay, so the two, you know, very popular upset picks both lose yesterday. Yeah. Samford, and I don't know if you're going to get to this, Pete, but McNeese also lost yesterday. And these were the two, you know, high seeds, a 12 seed for McNeese and the 13 seed for Samford, and we just got bupkis from. I wonder if they were reading their own headlines.
Well, look, I mean, don't look at my bracket, but I tried to warn you all to not run to Gonzaga, not run against Gonzaga. I tried. I said they were playing
Gonzaga
great.
Going to my Elite Eight.
Samford, however, that's a lot different than McNeese State. At least Samford showed up. They could have won that game.
That's true. That game was over in the first half.
It was completely over. And the one thing I will say about Gonzaga, because a lot of people, I think because they have won a championship, they'll say this is a team that chokes in March. This team always gets to the second weekend. Always. And one of the players, like you said, you know, people say that we don't win in March. Like, we don't always win in March. So people want to run to an early upset. It rarely happens with Gonzaga. Wait till the Sweet 16 if you want to see him choke.
Kind of Tom Izzo feel to it, too. We always, you know, you're right. These teams, why did I not know that yesterday? I was into the upsets.
Well, who cares? You're king for a day. You got the most right out of anyone on the show.
I know, but I actually watched Gonzaga. I'm like, ooh, they're going far. That's the thing. You get a vibe of where your teams are. It's not just about the first round. I saw some teams yesterday they have going very deep. I'm like, oh, they're not going deep.
Whoops. What else we got, Pete?
Gonzaga over McNeese, 86-65. You had Iowa State over South Dakota State, 82-65. Duquesne upsets BYU, 71-67. Texas over Colorado State, 56-44. And North Carolina State over Texas Tech, 80-67. Are you ready to hear a familiar voice?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go to the NBA now, and we'll start in Milwaukee.
He finds Dennis Smith Jr. off the right wing, across the lane, and Lillard stripped him. Lillard leaves the break. Beasley spots up. Corner three, and a shimmy shake out of that corner from Malik Beasley as the Bucks push the lead to 5.
That's our Andrew Bogish on Nets Radio. The Nets lose to the Bucks 115-1. What's that?
We should hire that guy.
Yeah.
Do some updates around here.
Dulcet tones. Nets lose to the Bucks 115-108. Damian Lillard led the Bucks with 30 points. Also in the NBA last night, the Knicks 4-game winning streak came to an end. They lost to the Nuggets 113-100. Nikola Jokic with a triple-double, 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 11 assists. Now to baseball. Love to get Pete's thought on this. Mets and DH J.D. Martinez reportedly agree on a 1-year, $12 million deal pending a physical. There is a bit of a Bobby Bonilla element to the deal, $4.5 million this year, and then $1.5 million deferred per year from 2034 to 2038.
Enough with the Bobby Bonilla garbage. Everyone does it, so let's cut that out, all right? Everyone defers money. Look at the Nationals. Look at all those bad contracts and how much they defer. So J.D. Martinez needs to be in the Met lineup. They have a big hole in the bottom of the lineup. It's a great thing when you sign players.
No, I think it's great. Listen, the Bobby Bonilla thing, two things. Can we even talk about Bonilla when Shohei is deferring $680 million? Right. I think it's a Shohei thing now.
And who knows? Who knows what that's for? We got to figure that out.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, so we'll get to Shohei's scandal in just a moment. But this is the other part. just pay the whole thing. Like, you're the richest owner in baseball. Just pay it.
I assume this is actually players that want this. That's what I assume. I guess I don't know. Maybe I'm taking it.
No, but he could pay out Bonilla. Like,
no, for oh, you're talking about Kenny.
I'm just talking about Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. Like, you could just buy out. You could buy out Bobby Bonilla tomorrow. It, just end this.
But if I was Bobby Bonilla, I would say no. I don't want that. I want.
It's a fixed income.
It's a nice retirement fund.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel it.
It's an interest, though.
And there's interest as well.
It's based on interest.
I know, but maybe I'll say, listen, I could invest that myself, and maybe I have my own investments. I want to be. I don't know if Bob Bunny has a 401k, but whatever he's got, whatever pension they have from the league.
I think he's walking around Wall Street.
He might be, patron saint.
Soccer, USA beat Jamaica 3-1 in extra time. They advanced to the final of the CONCACAF Nations League in Arlington last night. The USA was down 1-0 in the second half with just, I guess, seconds to go, but they tie the game on an own goal in the 6th minute of stoppage time, and then Haji Wright scored 2 goals in extra time, and the USA will meet Mexico in Sunday's final.
Fantastic. Peter, thank you so much. Again, so much going on. Kentucky gets upset last night as a 3 seed lose to the 14-seeded Oakland Golden Grizzlies.
Yeah, and by the way, stay tuned later in the day. I just picked out the songs for all 5 of you. I'm king for a day, and I'm going to make you all sing a song from our one-hit wonder bracket.
This is going to be awful.
Oh,
is it a cappella, too? Do we get an instrumental underneath?
Absolutely a cappella.
Oh, what? Gosh.
I'm not sure we have the rights to the instrumental underneath. It's got to be a cappella. You want to sit there and cut all the karaoke versions?
I was going to say, just play the ones that are there. We just sing along.
Oh, but those have lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's too much of a safety net.
The vocals overwhelm your vocal.
I think we could have found the instrumental. Whatever.
Perloff is king for a day because he got the most games right in the first day of the tournament. Lucky you.
He just walked out, by the way, but Peter Schwartz is doing 99 Luftballons in German.
Trust me, he's not listening to the show. He won't know you
said
this.
Don't worry about
it.
It's that kind of buy-in that we love around here. 855-212-4CBS. I kid. 855-212-4227. Okay, the Shohei scandal. Updates, new details. Wow, this thing is peeling like an onion. Get to that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get back to Kentucky and the big upset yesterday, the future of John Calipari, and all the March Madness that we saw on Thursday. But we've got to update everybody on a story about Shohei Ohtani. So this has obviously been a scandal that's been rocking Major League Baseball. Ohtani's interpreter, who got himself into 7 figures of gambling debt to an illegal bookmaker. Now, the question is, did Ohtani know, did he authorize 2 wire transfers of $500,000 each to help pay off these debts? Were the debts actually for the interpreter and maybe not for Ohtani himself? And then what is the fallout going to be for Major League Baseball in terms of suspensions and any of that? Now, here's the latest update as far as his news nuggets, Perloff. Ohtani's representatives have contacted law enforcement asking them to investigate what they're calling quote-unquote massive theft of the $4.5 million of the gambling debts allegedly lost by his interpreter. And the interpreter is taking full responsibility that he's a degenerate gambler. He lost this money. But the question is this a massive cover-up? And again, did Ohtani pay off this bookie?
Yeah, I mean, you have to jump to some conclusions here to say, you know, we need more information. The funny thing about me is the interpretation, like a lot of the story was affected by the fact that Ohtani lost his interpreter. So he can hide behind that. I mean, the language barrier is affecting every aspect of this story.
You're
so
100% right.
That thing, what was it on Wednesday where Ohtani, that the interpreter spoke to the locker room? We talked about this yesterday.
So I have this for you, more fleshed out on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so to that end, after, this is from ESPN, after Wednesday's season opening game in South Korea, Dodgers officials called a clubhouse meeting and told players a negative story was coming later in the day. A team official said, and Mizuhara, the interpreter, apologized, saying he had a gambling addiction. It was then, the official said, that Ohtani understood for the first time what was happening and began asking questions. Like, they're alleging here that Ohtani, you know, these stories are just so, at such extremes. The Dodgers are saying he found out about this on Wednesday, where Mizuhara is saying he told him about the gambling addiction and the debts in January, and that Ohtani floated him $1 million or more to try to cover up and try to pay back, rather, these gambling losses. You couldn't have two versions of the story that are further apart, and that's why it's inviting so much scrutiny.
Right. Is it possible the interpreter told Shohei the money was for something different, a gray area, where that Shohei didn't understand it was straight out gambling? It's hard to believe. It's a leap of faith here, but I think Shohei is going to try to claim ignorance, and he better. And all Rob Manfred better hope that he's ignorant, because that's the other thing. What if it goes the exact opposite direction, and these were bets that Shohei Ohtani was placing, and he lost the $4 million? And let's say, I mean, obviously we have to go there. What if it was somebody here bet on baseball?
Well, and let's back up for just for a second. Yeah. If it is Shohei, right? Yeah. And let's just say this whole thing is a cover-up, and Shohei is the one with the gambling problem, and he's the one who's been making these bets. You have to be the dumbest person on earth, because if you are a world famous athlete, why would you put your own name on a wire transfer, two wire transfers to a bookie?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
That's a good defense.
Ohtani can't be that stupid. I mean, maybe I underestimate people's illness and sickness when it comes to gambling, but that just seems ridiculous. If it's Ohtani who's placing the bets and he put his own name on the wire transfers, I mean, that's idiotic.
Well, how do you transfer money if your name's not on it? How does Ohtani get the money to the illegal bookie?
Well, let's float this out. If it actually is Ohtani, then I would imagine he would have used the translator as the front man to place the bets for him, right? So that's where you have a joint account or some type of other account that's secret from everybody.
A joint account with your translator?
I don't know. You're paying the bookie out of a different account, not one that has your freaking name on it. Like, you're showing Ohtani, your name's not Rob Smith.
Yeah. I think it was pretty easy for investigators to notice that name.
Like,
You're the biggest name in baseball, maybe one of the biggest names in sports.
Yeah, where have I heard that one before? Oh, right, Shohei Ohtani. The same Shohei?
I think that's a great excuse for a Shohei. It's almost implausible that he would put his own name on something if he did something completely nefarious.
Right, and so then the other part, do you wonder, did the interpreter break into his computer or something like that? If something happened that egregious, that's just wire fraud. He's going to jail for a very, very long time. That is massive theft. Now, I think your gray area is interesting. What if the interpreter just told Ohtani it was for something else and not to pay back a bookie? I think Ohtani is still majorly culpable there. I don't think ignorance is an excuse. If you say, hey, I'm floating this money, it's not like he gave the money to the interpreter, then the interpreter gave it to the bookie. He wired it directly to the bookie.
Yeah.
That is not going to hold.
But I think that's significant in terms of what the punishment will be. If that is the case, that the interpreter misled him about what the money was for and he did wire him, then maybe a suspension is merited. But we're not talking
death penalty.
We're not talking a season.
Ban, right.
Or a ban. A ban would be not permanent ban, but you could do 2 years. If it turns out he's betting on baseball, which, again, a huge leap here. We have no idea if Shohei was betting on anything. Just betting. And by the way, MLB, you are allowed to bet on other sports, but it has to be legal gambling, and this was illegal. Can you imagine what Rob Manfred is sitting there thinking today?
Oh, I mean, this is a crisis. I mean, a full-blown crisis. I think the other part, and this is something we said yesterday, I think it bears repeating, because it's beyond believable to me that, let's just say it is the interpreter, he has the gambling issue, and this is, you know, Otani was just the good friend and covered the debts. You're telling me you slid into a hole of seven figures of gambling debts to an illegal bookmaker, and you would not use any of the information you could glean from being inside a major league clubhouse to start making bets to dig yourself out of the hole. I can't imagine, because you'd be desperate. You'd be beyond desperate. You'd be looking for any way to try to get back some of this money. So I think once this investigation keeps going forward, you're going to find that Mizuhara bet on baseball.
Yeah, I mean, counter argument, you can't make that much money betting against the Angels. So I'm not sure.
Fade the Angels?
Yeah, yeah, fade the Angels along with everybody else. So I don't know if what his formula was. And that being said,
I didn't think about the strategy.
Being in the locker room, I've heard of athletes gambling who are terrible gamblers, even on their own team. Who knows?
855-212-4CBS. We'll get more into the relevance and just how this impacts the entire sport of baseball in just a moment. Oh boy, it's a big one. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.